Hey there, special educators. Welcome to Autism Academy 360, a podcast to making your job as special education teachers easier. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Abby, a behavior specialist. And together, we have over 25 years of special education experience.
And I'm a veteran autism teacher. We both are passionate about empowering you with practical teaching strategies and actionable tips and tricks that will help you thrive in your role.
Whether you're a seasoned educator looking for fresh insights, a newbie navigating your first classroom, or a parent of a neurodivergent child, this podcast is your go-to resource for all things autism.
So let's get started with today's episode.
Hey, it's Abby. I'm back to talk about behavior, of course, and we are going to talk about behavior in terms of data collection. As special ed teachers, we are the gurus at collecting data, but most of the time we are collecting academic data based on our IEP goals. And behavioral data doesn't have to be scary. So today we're going to talk about how you can collect it, different ways to collect it, and what to do with it once you have it, because all of those are really important. So we need to be collecting this data for a few reasons. If you have a student who has a formal behavior intervention plan, you legally have to collect data based on that plan. It's also really good to collect data maybe on your entire class or some specific students to just get a gauge and see if your interventions are working. When you have this data, it's going to prevent you from making gut reaction decisions. So what do I mean by that? If you are collecting data on a student and say they have one really big explosive behavior one day, instead of saying, oh my gosh, we need to change his whole plan, nothing's working, you go and you look at the data. Up until that day, the intensity, the frequency had all been going down. So that day was kind of a one-off. Maybe they were sick, maybe something happened before they came to school. So you can really start to analyze that. And instead of changing a plan that's working, you're going to see it's working because of the data and we don't have to change anything. It's also important that when you are working with autistic individuals that you are personalizing their interventions, because we know that what works for one student might not work for another, and we really want to be personalizing these interventions. Okay, so what type of data can you collect? There are so many things around behavior that you can collect, and here are a few examples of probably the most collected that I would say. Tracking the antecedents, behaviors, and consequences, or the ABCs. Collecting the frequency, how often a behavior happens. Maybe the intensity, low, medium, or high. Or the duration for a couple of examples, and of course there are more. The key thing on any of these data collection methods are really defining the behavior. So if you have someone that comes maybe to sub for one of your paraprofessionals and they don't know your student, you want them to be able to read the definition of that behavior and hypothetically collect behavioral data for you. Now, obviously, you're probably not going to want a sub to do it, but that is just how clear you want it written. You don't want it to say student becomes aggressive, because aggressive can look like a lot of different things. Sometimes it can just look like throwing a pencil, and that could be aggressive for that student. And some are physically aggressive towards others. So there is a wide range there. In order to collect this behavioral data, you can do it in a few ways. You can use direct observation. Maybe you have, if you're co-teaching, your teacher lead and you observe. So you're collecting behavior, but that is hard because that takes you sometimes out of the loop of teaching. You can use ABC charts and share them with a team. I love using this. This is probably my favorite, which is why I'm going to give you a freebie for it. What I do is I create a Google form, and really all you're going to have to do is copy the Google form. That's all there for you. I like to put in more than is necessary. So in that Google form, you're going to have the antecedents, behaviors, consequences, which you want to make specific to your student, but also the intensity, the time, the date, the location. It'll all be in there for you. Or you can use checklists. These are just a very short list. It's not all encompassing, but I think that these things are the easiest for us as teachers to implement because we don't want to make it busier. With that ABC chart that I'm going to give you, another suggestion is to make a QR code. So just Google QR code, get the link from the Google form, and print those off for everyone working with the student. Put it on their lanyard so they can easily scan it and input it, and it will take less than a minute to collect that data for the person, which is sometimes a big barrier. You really want to make sure that you're involving the entire team because you want a really complete and accurate depiction of the behavioral data. So you can easily do that by giving them those QR codes. You want to also answer any questions and share this with related service providers, special area like PE, music, art. Share it with anyone that's going to be working with a student to really make sure that you're getting a complete picture of the behavior. Now, you always want to make sure that you're looking at the data. And this obviously comes down to time, which can be tricky. But you want to set aside time, I would say every other week about, to be looking at that data. It's important to look at it when things are working and when they're not working. Because you can get a lot of information if the behavior is going down and seeing what's working. Maybe you look at the data and you realize, oh, Matt is not having any behaviors in math, but he's still having some behaviors in reading. What can we take from math? What's happening in that math block that we can expand and generalize into the reading? Maybe math has a really predictable schedule. Maybe math has a mini schedule provided. And reading doesn't. Maybe reading is a little bit more loosey-goosey to say, and that's causing a lot of angst and uncertainty, which leads to behaviors. Another thing you're going to want to do once you have that data collected is you're going to want to share it with your paraprofessionals and your entire team. So this does a few things. One, it reinforces the people who are collecting the behavior data. It reinforces that behavior. So it continues to motivate them to want to collect it because it shows them, oh, they are looking at the data. There is a reason that I am collecting this and it's not just going into cyberspace and never getting looked at. It's also incredibly motivating to see the interventions that you are doing, seeing that they're working. That in and of itself is one of the biggest reinforcements for adults. So if adults are going to get some fatigue when you are dealing with a lot of problem behaviors, and that's completely understandable. But if you can see data to see that it's actually working, maybe instead of 10 physical outbursts a day, the student has gone down to 8, to 6, to 5, and you can see that trend, even though it's still hard, you can see that change is happening, and that makes it more motivating. And it makes people just stick with those interventions that you put in place instead of maybe going off script or changing things up. I want to quickly add a couple different ways that you can collect more behavioral data if that ABC graph and QR code isn't for you. Maybe you don't want to use technology or people aren't comfortable using their personal devices to log in the incidences, which I've had before, and that's totally understandable. So you can make a paper copy of this and have them fill out and just keep it in a binder and then graph it yourself later. I always encourage graphing the data in some way because that really allows you to visually see what's happening, whether you're graphing the frequency or the duration, whatever it might be. Some other things you can do is sometimes if I'm doing a frequency measure, so how often a behavior is occurring, I just have a sticky note on my desk and I put a tally mark every time the behavior occurs. You can use that. You can use clickers. I love using clickers, but I do always hesitate because I did have a student who came to me once and he had a lot of experience with behavioral work outside of school. And when he saw those, it actually wasn't for him. It was for another student. And he said to me, oh, is that for me? Is green when I do something good and red when I do something bad? And I thought that that was really insightful that he had figured that out. And also sad that he knew when it clicked, it meant he heard the sound and he had paired that, oh, I'm doing something good or bad. You know, what am I doing? And for that child, it really increased their anxiety, which I wouldn't have thought because he's a really young learner. He had some difficulties, you know, being in school. So I was surprised to see that he was so tuned into that. So just always being aware of even little things like that that can impact our students. And this child obviously had a very large verbal repertoire, so he was able to tell me that, but not all of our autistic students are going to be able to do that. So just a couple of things to wrap it up that you might come into contact, some stumbling blocks, some barriers. You might have some adults that don't want to collect the data. I don't have time. Why are we doing this? So a few things that you can do with this are you want to make it as easy as possible, which is why for me, in my experience, those QR codes have been so easy to get the adults to actually collect the data. It also makes it easy that I can see it right away and I can easily graph it. You also, the time piece might be a barrier. So maybe setting aside 5 minutes for other paraprofessionals that need to really focus on putting it in, and maybe you take over whatever their role is and they go and collect the data. All right, so this wraps up our podcast about collecting data on behavior for our autistic learners. This is a very brief, we did not go too much into detail because obviously this is for your commute. I want it to be quick and easy, but I gave you some ideas on things you can use. You can go ahead and grab that QR code and start using it. If you do, please send me a picture or a DM. I want to hear how it works for you. This has been something that has been super successful in my work, so I want to hear if it's helped you as well. We talked about what to do after you collect the behavior data. You want to share it with paraprofessionals and anyone that's working with that student, and maybe some barriers and what you can do about it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Autism Academy 360. We hope that you've gained some tips and motivation to fuel your week ahead.
Before you go, don't forget to hit that follow button on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. If you want to show support, head to Apple Podcasts and leave your rating and review.
Until next time, stay inspired, stay informed, and most importantly, stay connected. We'll catch you in the next episode.